So thank you very much. Thank you, everyone, for the opportunity to talk a little bit about some of the work that we're doing back in Australia on fibre quality. Today I'm going to talk about some methods that we're trying to establish to determine when what situations we basically get an increase in NEPs. I'd like to firstly also acknowledge some of my co-authors, Robert Long. Robert Long happens to come from a place called Geelong in Australia, so we like to make those things rhyme. Greg Constable, who is here at this conference, and Stuart Gordon is also here at this conference. In the talk today, I'm going to firstly give it a bit of an overview of the Australian fibre quality, the issues that we have. Secondly, the research approach that we're taking to address some of our fibre quality issues, and then talk a little about the crop management research that we're doing, and in particular in this case, in this talk, about monitoring for infield NEPs. And just quickly finish the talk off with a bit about the future research and extension that we're undertaking. For Australia, cotton fibre quality is paramount. For us to sell our cotton in Australia, we basically all our cotton in Australia is exported. So therefore, if we don't produce good quality cotton, we don't get the chance to export it. Cotton spinners require longer, stronger, finer, more uniform cotton to actually produce good quality yarns. And they also like to have cleaner cotton to reduce the waste, so they're not paying for things that they're paying for the things that they're getting what they wanted when they pay for the cotton. A few years back, Stuart Gordon, who was at this conference, and a few of his colleagues conducted a survey of some of the spinning mills in Asia about their perceptions of Australian cotton in terms of what was good about Australian cotton and what was bad. And the four things that basically were identified as things that they weren't quite happy with were NEPs in Australian cotton, short fibre content, rising contamination, and micron air greater than 4.5. So this is a bit of a summary of their results. This is their spinner's impressions for all the different fibre quality traits, and you can see that micron air, NEPs, and short fibre content were the three things that they perceived as being a little bad about Australian cotton. Our research approach, I'm an agronomist, crop physiologist, and it was really about trying to link some of our talents that was based in one part of the world with some of the other, with the scientists that are working on textile manufacturing. The title of our project was Linking Farming Systems to Fibre Quality and Textile Performance. And it was really about trying to understand how the agronomic things that we were doing was influencing the downstream production of cotton. And it was a bit of a to and fro thing. So we were always saying this is what happens when we produce this quality. We were sort of starting to ask the scientists working in this area to actually give us some advice on whether they could actually influence the management decisions that we were recommending out to the growers. So what are NEPs? Just to briefly go over what are NEPs. They're fibre properties the things that are associated with NEPs are low micron air, fine and especially immature fibres. They're basically tangles of fibres. They often have low strength, high short fibre content, and sometimes very long and fine fibres. But we do know that variety and management and climate have strong influences on these NEPs. It's quite interesting when I'm actually giving the talk in Australia about NEPs, and I often stand up and I give an example. I'm often wearing the cheap $10 pair of jeans that I've bought from Walmart when I'm over here as a good example of I've often got the white flecks that often go through the jeans. They are the things that are often caused by the NEPs in your jeans. So I often wear my cheap jeans to my talks to use that as an example. In fact, it's the only jeans I've got, so I don't really have much choice. So the methodology, we know that from previous work in Australia that there was a large study done across lots of different management regimes. Anything they could put their hands on, they found that primarily in terms of NEPs coming from the field, it was associated with immature bolls and too early defoliation. So we knew that that was pretty well the management practice that was driving these differences, all these increases in NEPs coming from the field. So we set out basically to try to generate immature fibre, and the way we do that is by varying the time of harvest aid application, both defoliant and bowl opener, to give these differences in NEPs. We've run three experiments over three seasons using the variety Cycott 71BR. These are the replicate trials, four reps, randomised complete block design. Relatively large plots, large enough that we could harvest them with a machine picker. So essentially three seasons where we're applying these harvest aids every 5 days, starting from very early in bowl opening. The measurements were taken were yield and fibre quality, both HVI and APHIS Pro measurements. The APHIS Pro is what we needed to measure NEPs. In addition to those measurements at the end of the seasons, we were trying to establish what were the conditions when we applied those harvest aids, and these are fairly standard things that many people have done over the years with harvest aid timing studies, where they measure the percent open bowls, nodes above crack bowl, and percent. The other one that we used was percent immature bowls using the cutting bowl technique, where you open the bowls, and if the seed coat is actually soft and still white, we define that as immature, and when it started to darken, we define them as being mature bowls. So one of the questions was, you know, in this technique that we were actually undertaking, do we influence fibre maturity? We were pretty confident that we were. This is some electron microscope pictures of our first year. We started, in that particular year, we started 29% bowls open, and you can see the immature fibres are basically ones that haven't filled out, so you can see the differences between 29% open bowls and 100% open bowls. So we were fairly confident, at least in that first year, and measuring the maturity ratio with a SIRAMAT, which uses image analysis to determine fibre quality, that we were getting differences in maturity. Not unexpected, and similar to many of the results that other people have found with these harvest aid studies, we do get an impact on yield pretty well. From about 50 to 60% bowls open, we start to see a decline in yield, and that's not unlike other studies. Similarly with Micronair, around 60%. The 60% recommendation for harvest aid application seems to be a fairly robust recommendation for a lot of things, but we can see here that Micronair falls away. So on the x-axis, I basically relativised the data in the sense of just talking about the changes in Micronair rather than the absolute values. So when did we increase NEPs? So in the same way that we can plot up Micronair and yield in these ways, we've done the same with the NEPs. And we can definitely see that we've got some fairly strong relationships, both percent open bowls, nodes above the crack bowl, and percent immature bowls. The best of those relationships in terms of trying to represent changes in NEPs was percent open bowls, followed by fairly closely by percent immature bowls. In terms of where we started to see changes, for percent open bowl, again, 60% open bowls seems to be where we started to see a significant increase in NEPs. Around 7 to 8 nodes above crack bowls when we, prior to that, we see an increase in NEPs. And interestingly, that we had to have greater than 20% of immature bowls before we actually started to see increased NEPs. Now, just a bit of a point of clarification there, that the percent immature bowls is not directly analogous to percent open bowls, because some of the bowls were mature but not open, so that those values are not quite analogous. So following on from that, and one of the important things about NEPs is how we've used this data and related to some of the processing that occurs post the growing of the crop. We can see here, this is the, when we add the data and we look at the impact of the data that I actually had presented was only for one link cleaner. This is the impact of link cleaners. So we can see the impact of one and two link cleaners. And as sometimes when you have cotton that needs to be cleaned a little bit more, that it's a common practice to put cotton through two link cleaners. This is data that's relativised to the control of the zero link cleaner, And we can see that obviously there's a cumulative effect of link cleaners. But the interesting thing for us is that we see, right, okay, where's the arrow? You can see here that we're starting to get some interactions occurring with our link cleaners, the separation of these curves with the link cleaner. So that's an interesting thing we're starting to see. Following on for that, one of the, like I said, the important aspect of this project is to relate this to some of the textile production stuff. So whilst we might be making management recommendations about things that we see in the field, we take this down the pipeline, and does that management recommendation stand up when we start to process the cotton? This is an example of the first year where we plotted, in this case, it's just the maturity ratio for the cottons that we generated versus yarn strength, and we can see we get a relationship there. And the idea is that if we were making a recommendation of, say, 20% immature bolls, when we actually go and process that cotton, does that actually stand up to the textile production scrutiny? Similarly, so we produce yarn. One of the other important things about NEPS is whether it can take up immature fibres, and NEPS can take up dye. And we can see here, this is the column that I'd like you to look at, is the difference in fabric colour. Pretty well, we the only time that we've got significant differences in fabric colour was when we got down to values earlier than 60% open bolls, and this is only in the first year. So in summing up, we were able, like other fibre quality parameters, to relate NEPS to some of the measurements that were taken in the field. Percent open bolls and immature bolls were the best measurements, the best techniques to actually generate those relationships. In at the moment, reduce risk of yield loss and increase NEPS after 60% bolls, your risk of reducing yield and increasing NEPS is less after 60% bolls open. And we see that NEPS are increased when there was more than 20% immature bolls. Our future research is about continuing this textile performance. We still have 2 years of spinning this yarn and dyeing this yarn to actually wind this work up. And the work that was sort of, and one of the reasons why we're using this percent immature bowl approach, not just the percent open bowl and nose above crack bowl, is that we do have situations where we have fruiting gaps, and we have times when the crops are non-uniform in terms of their maturity, that we wanted a technique that could accommodate those situations. So similar to the work of Joel Fairclough's, where we're actually going out and we're generating situations where we have fruiting gaps, and we're going to test these techniques. We're winding this up in terms of trying to produce some management guidelines. While this work is not revolutionary in the scheme of things in terms of trying to make big differences, our philosophy generally is about we start with good quality varieties with exceptional quality, and what we end up with at the end is something that it hasn't actually allowed us to take that quality. And at the end, is that we're trying to avoid and minimise all the problems a little bit at a time, so we end up with something better at the end. So that's our research approach, and we are basically, our ultimate aim is to produce some management guidelines, and the title of our management guidelines is Fibre Pack, which is fairly well emphasising the importance of our fibre quality emphasis. And I thank you very much.
Thank you. We've got about a minute left for questions, if there are any.
If they were unlucky to encounter quite significant stresses during maturity, they would maybe end up with immature fibres. So, and then that's one, like I said, it's one of the reasons why we're going down the percent immature bowls. If you go out and you can actually assess how many mature or immature bowls are there, is there something you can do to, and we're still asking that question, is there something you can actually do to respond to that and reduce those immature bowls? But it's not a simple question. a simple answer to that question, because you've got to balance that with yield and maturity and fibre quality and all those things together. But I have no doubts it would affect it.
Okay.